This is the Frogcast.
Stillwater. But win or lose, we love Texas Christian University. We love our Horned Frogs, and specifically, we love this team and the players that have given their heart and soul this season with so many injuries, so many things going against us that have still gotten to this point where we are 8-1, still ranked number 12, and still fighting with an outside shot to be competitive here at the end of the season and hopefully still have a chance to win the Big 12. Well, Daniel and Trey, I don't know about you, but it's been a rough day here after seeing us get beaten Stillwater, handled by that Mike Gundy team. Daniel, when you think about what's gone on yesterday in terms of what the Frogs did on the field and perhaps even more importantly, what Oklahoma State did on the field, what did you see watching that game and what was your response to it, and especially the people that maybe you were interacting with online?
We just got beat. It was pretty bad. Even though on the first the precedent was sort of set on the first play. I think it was Ogba came around, got his hand on this Boykin, just kind of a casual little pass, and he knocked that down. And I was like, oh, man, this is kind of a different feel for the game already. And, you know, part of it was, you know, them completely, you know, just dominating the cornerbacks and such. And they threw good passes, and that Washington guy is a heck of a receiver. And then part of it was us beating ourselves, I mean, particularly Boykin. Four interceptions is just insane. Green didn't have a good running game again. Of course, there wasn't that good a run blocking, so I don't know what all is going on with that. I personally want to see Hicks more. I think he's been doing really well. He's got the explosiveness that Green seems to be missing, and it was depressing, but at the same time, you know, it feels like in the back of my head all along, I knew one of these games was going to come up and, you know, bite us in the butt, and this is the one that did it. In a way, I'd rather get beat bad and like decisively beaten than say if we lost the Tech game or something like that. You know, where it was so close, we almost had it. Those seem to be so much more disappointing. But it was, you know, as long as people understand the injuries and stuff, it's not the end of the world. To be honest, to make it as far as we have with what we've got left, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, the injuries have mounted this year. I can name who's healthy. It's easier to name who's healthy than who is injured. And then, of course, yesterday, we're still waiting news when we record this. So what happened with Josh Doxon went down before halftime. God bless that young man. He has offered his so much to this university, so much to this football team. And to see us in the spot that we're in, I have to agree with you, Daniel. I mean, we were lucky to be 8-0, and I don't mean lucky as a pejorative. We caught some breaks when things didn't go our way in terms of injuries. And to just get to where we are is a testament to the coaching staff and to the team and to the guts and the character of the guys that are wearing purple and white. Trey, what's your take on what happened at the game in Stillwater? We got a lot of auxiliary issues that kind of shoot out of that, but just give us a rant. What's on your mind tonight, Trey Fallon?
Okay, let me take a deep breath. First of all, it sucks. It sucks. But I agree with you, Daniel. Losing 49-29, losing by 20, is a lot better than, say, Baylor last year, a 3-point close loss. You know, from the outset, the Frogs didn't look right. And you were kind of preparing yourself for a loss as the game continued to go on. And, you know, when you look at the box score and you look that TCU gets 20 more first downs and they put up 663 yards and, you know, they kill time of possession, having the ball for like 15 more minutes than Oklahoma State did. But then you look and you see the four turnovers and then you realize why those are always the great equalizer in games. And it sucks that it came from Boykin. I mean, the guy that has carried the team and has put so much into this, and I'm not saying he's the reason why they lost, but I mean, he did throw the four interceptions. So it just sucks that that was kind of, he contributed to it in kind of such a big way. And then also it's just, you know, it sucks because the Frogs don't get the benefit of the doubt. They're not an Ohio State where they can lose to a terrible Virginia Tech team last year and still make the playoffs. Like, no, the season is not over, and we're going to get into that more later. But it's just the loss feels a little bit more crushing because, you know, really special, chaotic things are going to have to happen for TCU to get back in the mix. And, you know, it sucks because TCU, the defense had been looking so much better. They had looked improved, you know, against West Virginia. They play on Thursday night, so they get a couple extra days to prepare, and they come out and the secondary just looks bad. And, you know, with all that being said, I also think you have to give credit to Oklahoma State because, you know, Jeff, me and you kind of talked about this a little bit during the game. We were messaging back and forth, but they came out with a pretty good game plan. And I don't know, you know, why more teams don't attack TCU deep down the field. And, you know, maybe we can expect to see that more coming up in the, you know, next three games. But Oklahoma State came out. They knew they could send Washington deep. It was a simple route. It was just, hey, James Washington, run as fast as you can straight down the field, and we're going to throw the ball to you. Like, that, it was that simple, and he burned them, you know, multiple times. And it's just disappointing that that's kind of what the secondary is. And, you know, I'm not, I know there's injuries, and I know they're young, but it's like, shit, man. Like, it's just disappointing to see how it all played out. The injuries, you know, you can't really use them as an excuse, but it, I mean, they are what they are. They really decimated this team. And, you know, I saw like a post on Killer Frogs that said, you know, like, why is there so many injuries? And there's really no way to answer that. It just is what it is. Like, and you look at Dotson's injury, like, there's no way you can prevent that. Like, the guy was putting his hand down and another player rolls up on it. You know, Tejada, you know, when you pull these, you know, tendons and ACLs and MCLs and whatever they are, it's just, you know, you can't explain it. It's just like, damn, it just, the bad luck hit us really hard this year. And what stings me even just deep down in the soul is this makes last year suck so much more that we were fucking robbed from going to the playoffs. And last year was the year, and I've believed that since it happened, since it, you know, you've seen everything. When you go back and look at last year, like, that team had what it take, had what it took to win it all, and they got robbed of that opportunity. And, you know, we were all happy going into this year because we thought, you know, you got so much of the offense coming back, and then you get hit with the injuries. And that's why you can't ever take anything for granted in this game, because, you know, you go from the top to the bottom so quickly, and it just, it freak, damn, man, it just makes last year hurt that much. Much more to me. That's it for, that's just kind of how I feel, really.
Yeah, I agree with basically every word that you said. I want to piggyback. I want to start with Oklahoma State because I don't want to be one of those fans that says we lost the game. No, they won it. That team was prepared. That team came to play. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, what if I was an Oklahoma State fan, say 36 hours ago, or if I played for Oklahoma State? That has to be the lowest ranked Power 5 8-0 team ever. I mean, they were 13 in the polls, in the committee's poll coming into this weekend. And to be 8-0 and to play in the Big 12 and to come this far and be 8-0, they had to feel disrespected. If we feel like we were disrespected by being 8, imagine how they had to feel being 5 spots behind us. So they had all of that, forgive the cliche, that chip on their shoulder. They had the home crowd. They had, you know, the whatever weird energy comes off of an unfortunate tragedy that happened at their homecoming parade a couple of weeks ago. All those things kind of got piled up, and they took it all out on us. And the other thing that happened is, you know, Mike Gundy has to be one of the most underrated coaches because, you know, we know that TCU, you know, does more with less, but he's competing. I mean, he's not in DFW. He is in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and he is getting recruits, and he is putting a winning team on the field. So I give all the credit in the world to Mason Rudolph, to J.W. Walsh, to Washington, as we said, and to Mike Gundy. And I mean, I know he's kind of an internet meme of his age and his gender, but Mike Gundy is a damn good coach, and he showed it on Sunday when he beat Gary Patterson in BTC, or on Saturday when he beat TCU and Gary Patterson. So I give him that. A couple of depressing stats I wanted to share with you just to kind of beat your spirits down a little bit more. Oklahoma State scored their 7 touchdowns on 16 offensive plays under 4 minutes combined. The longest touchdown drive took 1:13. That is like video game numbers. So every time Ohio State got the ball, they basically scored in 5 plays or less. That is freaking ridiculous. Over and over and over again. Burning us deep, beating us down. So well, what does this do to let's just start with a couple of things. What does this do to our ability to win the Big 12? What does this do to Boykin's ability to win the Heisman? Let's just kind of throw all of that out there and weigh in on it as you guys think. Daniel, I know we do not control our own destiny, but what do you think of our chances of anything breaking our way to get back in a position to where if we win, we're in a better spot?
Winning the Big 12 would be really difficult at this point because of how the tiebreaker works now. Not just the head-to-head, but if it becomes a 3-way tie, it's like it involves that whole margin of victory thing. But because, I mean, Oklahoma State, for us to win, Oklahoma State would have to lose twice, and we would have to beat Oklahoma and Baylor, or just Baylor. It's a confusing thing. So, but it's not that likely. And as far as the Heisman, I don't think Boykin would have won the Heisman, even maybe last night if he'd had been on fire and then Fournette laid an egg like he did, which was just awesome. he would have had a much better chance. But now, you know, it's probably going to be it's possible. You know, when RG3 won, they were 9-3, but I don't know. I just feel like he wasn't the favorite anyway. It's that whole SEC garbage, and now that he had a really bad game, it's not probably not looking that hot.
No, I especially on the Heisman, I agree with you. I just am. He's going to get an invite to New York. Fournette will probably still win it if he runs wild, but it's he had a great chance yesterday, and it just didn't break his way. Trey, where do you think we stand on those two things we were chasing for both the trophy for Boykin and the Big 12 for the team?
Yeah, so, you know, the loss hurts. You know, it hurts the team. It hurts all of us as fans. But, like, I don't know, deep inside of me, in my heart, like, realizing, or I guess coming to the realization after this performance, that Boykin's probably not going to win the Heisman. I don't know, really. I just think that sucks, like, really bad. I like that kid, you know, as a player, what he's done on the field for TCU, from playing, you know, running back, receiver, quarterback, whatever's asked of him, then, you know, his performance as a quarterback these last 2 years, and just elevating himself, the team, the program, and then what he does off the field. He's just that good of a person. And I think it really sucks for him, and he's not completely out of it, but you know, I've been doing the weekly, you know, comparisons with all the other quarterbacks, and none of them, you know, they did have losses, but none of them had games where they threw four, you know, interceptions. And that's really tough. That's going to be hard to overcome. And it, like y'all said, that sucks on the night where Fournette has 31 yards, you know, Boykin, you know, was always in that 1B or second place position. He could have really elevated himself, you know, and made it a conversation, but it just came up short. And so that part of it really, you know, like I said, sucks, I think. But as far as winning the Big 12, you know, it is going to be tough. You know, there's been crazier things to happen. You know, at this point, though, I would say that the Big 12 championship is going to be decided during Bedlam, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. I think that game is going to decide it if I had to bet on it. But we'll see. I mean, I'm not all completely doom and gloom. You know, it does suck, but maybe something crazy will happen. Most likely not. But we'll see.
Well, the one thing that gives me confidence for things playing out in the Big 12 to possibly break our way, and if we don't win, it doesn't matter if it breaks our way. The Big 12 has never gone to chalk since they went to the round robin. We've never had where we had a 9-0 and an 8-1 and a 7-2 and a 6-3 and a 5. You know, it has never broken that way. When Oklahoma State had the chance to win the Big 12 in 2013 after they boat raced Baylor up in Stillwater, they got beaten Bedlam the next, you know, a couple weekends later. You know, when Kansas State was on their chance to go play for the national championship in 2012, they got beat by Baylor. And so every year that you think it's going to break one way, it breaks another. You know, Baylor beats us, then they get beat by West Virginia. So I still think that there is some things to happen at the top of the conference. And just because we lost first of the top four doesn't mean we're going to be the only loss. And I don't think it's going to fall to where we have a 9-0, an 8-1, a 7-2, and a 6-3. It's never happened. So I don't think this is the year, and I think that there's too much parity at the top for that to continue to shake out that way. So one of the things I just wanted to lament about, you've already kind of touched on it, Trey. I made the mistake the other morning of watching about 30 minutes of two different football games of TCU. First thing I did was I went back and I watched the first 30 minutes of the Peach Bowl last year. That defense is one of the best defenses Gary Patterson ever put on the field. When I am watching Mallett and Dawson and Sam Carter and Chris Hackett and Kevin White and Ranthony Tejada as a redshirt freshman just all over the field knocking everybody around, and Chucky Hunter, gosh, man, I mean, that just makes you long for the days where that was kind of normative for a TCU defense. And I share your loss, Trey, that if we would have gotten in the playoff last year, that team had just as much shot to win that as anybody else. There was nothing I saw in those three playoff games that convinced me that anybody was going to dominate us and that we wouldn't be in the game all the way to it. And so I take that Peach Bowl defense and I compare it against the defense that we have now. And it just almost makes you admire all the more what Boykin and the offense have been able to do this year. But then I went back and watched the Minnesota game. And there's guys that were hurt that I forgot were even on the team. I mean, if you really want to do an exercise in depression, go look at everybody that took the field to start the defense on the Minnesota game. I mean, Sammy Douglas is gone. Mike Freeze is obviously gone. Kenny Iloka is gone. And Ranthony Tejada is gone. And the list just goes on both sides of the ball of people that are playing and excelling that we just don't have anymore. And, you know, you can say injuries aren't an excuse, but we are so depleted. We have played so many. We've played 31 true freshmen or redshirt freshmen. And it just kind of rounds back to what we started with, which is I can't believe that we got to 8-0 when we should just be grateful for the effort that these guys put into it. Well, fellas, anything else that you want to add about the Oklahoma State game, the impact on the Big 12 race, and where things stand with Boykin and the Heisman? Anything else, Trey or Daniel? I think my money is also on the Bedlam game. I think Oklahoma is in the driver's seat. If I had to bet, they're going to beat Baylor. And then if they can beat us, I think they're going to beat Oklahoma State. So it'll be interesting to see. Because that leads me to the conversation point I wanted to kind of just touch on for 30 seconds here. If Oklahoma runs the table, that's going to put them at 11-1 with a loss to a really bad Texas team. If 11-1 blue blood from the Big 12 gets left out, we have to expand the day after the announcement Sunday, in my opinion. Because when I compare what other conferences, the way that they get a pass compared to us, I don't know that it's anything other than the fact that we don't have a conference championship game. And if you look at divisions and the way that the SEC in their pumped up brilliance is able to do, they're able to take seven teams in each side. They're able to have teams that don't play each other. You don't play half of the other division. And so teams that would be 7-5 in the Big 12 are often 8-4 or 9-3 in the SEC. And I, you know, when they talk about, when the committee comes out and says, if you have a win over a team that is above 500, that gives you extra credit in our eyes, we immediately are depleting ourselves and not giving ourselves points to what the committee this week is deciding is really possible. If Oklahoma gets left out at 11-1, do either of you guys think that that is going to create the urgency in order to create some expansion right away?
You know, it might. And I'm like torn on it because I think, one, I would like to see an Oklahoma or a Texas or somebody like that get left out at 11-1 like TCU and Baylor did, so they can experience it and maybe it would create changes. But on the flip side, it's like I want a Big 12 team to get into the Final Four. And even more, I guess, I hope it's Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, because really don't want it to be Baylor.
Hell no.
Man, I really don't want that to happen. But it would be interesting to see. And I don't know if I'm for expansion or not. You bring up some good points. But on the flip side, I just think it sucks that, I mean, and we all feel the same way, I'm sure. This is just, the Big 12 doesn't get credit really for, you know, losing on the road like a SEC team would or something like that. Like, if perception, I guess, was better, then there wouldn't be a need for it. But the SEC always has that perception that they're great and just these great defenses, whatever. But it's like they also have terrible offenses and their quarterbacks suck. But it's like, you know, if Alabama loses on the road, everybody makes excuses for them or whatever. I don't know. It's just – I don't know what's going to happen, really. It's –
Daniel, what do you think about the Big 12, Daniel?
I don't know if I want to expand or not, because it feels like we might be rushing into it just like we did after last year when TCU was left out, and TCU and Baylor. I'm okay with Baylor being left out, but I don't know. I guess maybe after another year we get an idea of more or less what's going to – but well, I don't know that Oklahoma would get left out. I feel like at 11-1 – unless they had, because what I feel like is Alabama and LSU are still going to be up there come Tuesday. I think they'll probably just swap. So if you got two SEC teams, Clemson will stay in there, and then you've got Ohio State, Notre Dame. You know, it's going to be tough to wedge one in there. But if one of those loses, like if Michigan beats Ohio State, I don't know. It's really hard to say if Oklahoma would get in or not. I would like to think that they would. I'd like to see a Big 12 team in there, and definitely win. But there's a million factors, you know, and there's a lot of things that are just way over my head as far as, you know, what the university presidents want and the Big 12 commissioner and all that And then there's the point of, well, there's only teams. We can get Cincinnati, we can get Memphis, blah, blah, blah. And there's really no slam dunk. So it's really not an easy thing to digest or understand or anything. So I'm not really sure at this point.
Yeah, it's a complex issue. But I think at the bottom of it is we have to do what the committee kind of dictates, for a lack of a better term. And I want to just go on the record and say, I hate this committee. I think they suck. And that doesn't have anything to do with TCU getting left out. It just has to do with them not understanding baseball. I mean, excuse me, them not understanding football and thinking of it almost like it's baseball. I can't remember who it was. I think it was The Audible, which is the podcast with Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel. And they were talking – no, I take that back. It's the Final Four with – the Football Four with Dan Walken. That's what it is, USA Today, Dan Walken's podcast. He talked about that he has had confirmed sources that basically say Barry Alvarez and Tom Osborne run that committee. And if you want to pound the ball and play defense and keep the score low, that is what they count as positive football. That is what they highlight as football. And so when I see that the Big 12 gets knocked for not playing defense, it means that these people don't understand the difference between points and points per possession. I mean, when you were playing a fast break version of football, which is what every high school in Texas plays and what 90% of the teams in the Big 12 play, then if you can't interpret just the most basic facts of how many points you give up per possession is of terms to how many in, as opposed to how many points you give up a game, then this committee is idiots. And we unfortunately have to kind of bend to their will. And I know people will phase in and off, but bottom line is we get disrespected and it pisses me off. And if that means we have to add two Medal of the Pack teams to kind of puff everybody up to join all the other puffed up conferences, then I would do it. I'm a purist. I like the round robin. I like the team as it is, or the conference as it is. But we just might not be able to absorb that in terms of keeping our head above water as a conference. And if 11-1 OU gets left out, we are going to expand whether we like it or not. So,
yeah, I don't like the committee either. Honestly, I think if you're going to keep it at a current four team format, that I would much rather prefer the BCS computers. I didn't like the BCS and just picking the top two, but I think the computers would be better to pick the top four, definitely, for sure. Or you've got to expand it to 6-8, whatever you want to do, and give automatic bids to the conference Power Five winners. I think, I mean, I know a lot of people argue, well, then that'll, you know, the out of conference won't matter. And then, you know, you could maybe get a 3-loss conference champion in the mix. But I think if you win your conference, that should get you into the playoff. If you're looking at a fair system, I don't know. You just got to take it out of this committee's hands. I didn't think the committee was going to be this bad. And I don't know. I guess maybe I'm a little biased, but I do not like the committee at all. I'm with you. I don't like it.
It's a complete load of crap because you're putting it in the hands of these eggheads. And I don't know if anyone listened, either y'all or anyone listening, heard Joel Klatt on The Ticket the other day. He came out and pretty much pointed out some things.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah, and he pointed out some things that I hadn't thought of, like why ADs shouldn't be on the committee, because like Barry Alvarez, and yeah, we know he runs the show, but you know, when Wisconsin loses to Alabama, he's going to go put all this emphasis on Alabama's strength, so their loss to Wisconsin's loss to Alabama doesn't look as bad. So it's totally, you know, conflict of interest and self-interest and all that crap. And it's just it's mind-blowing that, you know, ESPN, who pretty much owns the playoff, they own the television rights to the playoff, they own television rights to or the broadcast rights to the Heisman, they own all of this crap. And it reminds me of, I don't know if y'all saw it, I think it was The Dictator, Sacha Baron Cohen movie. And, you know, it's this parody farce thing about he's this dictator from some Middle Eastern country where he holds his own Olympics and then he wins every single thing no matter how bad he is. That's what that kind of crap reminds me of. And I just freaking hate ESPN and I hope they all die.
Well, on that positive note, I will go ahead and agree with everything you just said.
I just had to stop before I got too mad.
Listen to that Joel Klatt interview. It is on on Killer Frogs. That is a great interview.
And sorry, I think it's almost, though, become comical where that might be Joel Klatt's real thoughts. I hope they are. But it's like if you've watched the Fox or Fox Sports 1, they really hype up the Big 12 and, you know, the Pac-12 and then ESPN, you know, is always hyping the SEC. And it's ridiculous that that's what it's become, where it's let's hype up our own product versus let's actually get the best teams on the field together. And it's just absolutely ridiculous how it's become. And it's not really like this in any other sport, because it's, you know, ESPN can go out there and talk all the crap they want about the Cowboys or the Saints or the Packers or whatever, but if they win their division, they get into the playoffs and they can go prove how good they are. But that's just not how it is in college football. And it's absolutely ridiculous that it's come to almost like politics, where a Fox News versus MSNBC, where now we've got Fox Sports versus ESPN promoting their own products, because they're one, about the money, not about the sport. Two, you got all these cable cutters out there, so the networks are losing money, and that's a whole other different discussion. But it's like, damn, like that's really what it's become, is just we're all gonna push our own agendas. But I am glad that at least you got a Joel Klatt out there like pointing out these huge fallacies and, you know, this ridiculous nonsense that's going on. And, you know,
I'm really surprised anyone ever agreed to this, because it's so absurd. Where in the hell else is there some sort of committee of nerds that meets once a week with all these computers and, you know, that are, oh, I'm AD of so-and-so and I'm the coach or whatever they are. And it's like, what? Who thought of this? I mean, other than ESPN knowing that, hey.
Well, idiots compare it to the NCAA committee for basketball, which is the stupidest comparison in the world. They're deciding who the 69th best team is to get left out. I mean, no one is sitting around saying, should a three-loss Kentucky get into the tournament? No one's saying, should a two-loss? I mean, they have all of their products in the tournament. They're trying to decide whether a 19-12, you know, Vanderbilt should get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
that is the easiest tournament to pick. I could do that and nobody would be able to argue with it. This is serious. This is four teams. This is a multi-million-dollar thing. And I feel like these people are just sitting around saying, well, you know, Alabama's got the best recruiting class, so we should probably put them in. I would have still put money on Bama playing for the title a week ago. But the idea that they were ranked fourth in the committee last week is an absolute joke. That they were six spots in front of Florida, that is pathetic. I mean, they should. It doesn't matter whether you think they're going to end up in the front, which they probably will. There is no way that an Alabama team should be there. But guess who played Alabama the first game of the season? Wisconsin. And that's why it happened. And we're right, because we got a podcast. So
that's right.
That's right. All right, fellas, real quick here. Anything else around national football this last week in terms of who won and who lost that we can delight in another person's suffering rather than our own? Speaking of College Station, we did see Texas A&M get beat by Auburn. That is a bad Auburn team that got beat by Texas A&M. So even though they have great attendance, according to their fans, they got beat, and they're going to have another 7-5 year with Kevin Sumlin. And I couldn't have it happen to a better group of people. Trey, did you happen to see the Michigan State game?
Well, yeah. So I guess a couple things.
Go ahead.
One, you know, SMU Temple, SMU crowd, it just seems like it's worse every week. Like, I think there was like 13 people at that game.
I have a friend of mine that came, and he tweeted me and said, at best, there were 5,000 people there.
Yeah, it's getting pitiful. And
remember when they almost beat us and Baylor?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought they were going to be a lot more improved than what they were. I mean, at least they did score 40 points, and they were kind of competitive, but it got bad there late. But this is probably, I guess, coming off a loss, I don't know if it's the best thing to say, but Baylor, Kansas State, I thought Baylor looked very beatable. Obviously, we all know their offense is really good. Corey Coleman, I hate Baylor, but he's a really, really good receiver, I think. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. He's a good receiver. I'm going to leave it at that. But their defense, though, they have huge flaws. I don't know if y'all want to chime in on this one, but I just think they got to go to Stillwater. I think Oklahoma State's a good team, and they also got to play Oklahoma. And Kansas State, I mean, they were pretty much running the same damn play. It was, you know, either running their quarterback pretty much up the gut of Baylor's defense or handing it off and mixed in a pass like once every 10 to 15 plays. I mean, it was predictable as shit, and Baylor still couldn't stop it. So I don't know. To me, that's why, you know, I think the Big 12 is going to come down to the Oklahoma schools, because I just don't think Baylor's going to be able to stop anybody. But yeah, you know, Michigan State went down, obviously. Nebraska, I feel like Nebraska's come out on the wrong end of, like, I feel like so many crazy weird plays that I guess it's nice that they finally caught a break on that, but Big Ten officials look bad on that one, and I guess Big 12 fans can feel a little bit better because every conference has shitty officiating, apparently. So yeah, I guess, you know, and Clemson pulled out the win, so still got, what, a handful, seven undefeateds, and what, TCU and Michigan State go down, so yeah.
Memphis went down too.
Oh yeah,
they got beat by Navy. Memphis. Yeah, and if you really want to chase a rabbit hole. They could, if Navy won the American, they could extend the placement of every bowl till the next week at the completion of the Army-Navy game in order to affirm that they are the best Gang of Five team, if you really want to get everything all jacked up. I read that this afternoon, and I was like, what the heck? Why can't we just say that's the world's most patriotic expedition game and call it that? So, Daniel, what did you see watching the college football other than the loss that we had at Stillwater?
Well, I watched Ole Miss go down. That was hilarious. You know, to a crappy Arkansas. And then, you know, really, I only got to watch pretty much whatever we already talked about. I was really kind of hoping Clemson would go down. I wanted Clemson to go down. I wanted Minnesota to beat Ohio State. Yeah, right. And then, and I wanted Alabama to stuff Fournette. And we got a few of those, but, of course, it didn't matter because we lost. So, anyway, I was kind of hoping Clemson would go down. They pulled it out in the last minute or two. I didn't actually get to see it. But there's just not enough. College football needs a ton of chaos, and that's what makes it a lot of fun. And there hasn't been quite enough yet, so hopefully in these next couple of weeks we'll get a little bit more.
Yeah, I am sure we're going to get some chaos in these next few weeks. So, I mean, we're going to transition into what we need to do in terms of supporting the Frogs the next couple of weeks here in a second. But I have no doubt that half the teams between us and the number one team in the country are going to take a loss, if not two, between now and the end of the year. So the chaos is coming. It will be here. This is when the kick six happens. This is when some of these exciting things happen at the end of the year. So we'll see how all of that goes. One of the other things I did watch from the beginning, the Texas Tech West Virginia game. And I actually got a couple of guys that I've gotten to know on Twitter that are huge West Virginia fans. And they had all but confirmed to me that if West Virginia lost to Tech, they were going to fire Holgorsen. And so he kind of was playing for his job, and they held on and beat Cliffy Boyd out there from Lubbock. So I'll be interested to see if he loses to Texas or anybody else, if they're going to be able to hold on to him, if he's going to be able to hold on to his job. Because I think West Virginia is a program that could still do pretty well in the Big 12. But if they fire Holgorsen, I think they're going to take a step back before they take a step forward. So, well, this week, folks, we have Kansas coming. We get an 11 o'clock kickoff for the second to last home game of the year. And I'm going to give everybody a chance to say this, but I just want to say this in one simple paragraph. We lost. It sucked. If you're within driving distance of Amon Carter, you better be in your seat at 10:30 on Saturday, because this team has fought so much for you. You need to be there to support them. We are playing a team that we are going to blow the shit out of. Be there and enjoy it. Because the season is not over. Crazy stuff happens. I remember when we were told we were not even going to make it to the Rose Bowl because Boise was ahead of us had the driver's seat for basically the Gang of Five spot. Guess what? They got beat by Nevada. We never know what's going to happen in order to break our way, to be in our spot, to be able to win out and get good things happen to us. But the Frogs need our support. They need every fan there for this week as we take on Kansas. I'm not going to break down Kansas because they're pathetic. But what we are going to do is cheer them on as we get there this week to watch the Frogs play. Are you two guys that are living there in Fort Worth going to be there this Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there, and I agree. And I actually think this comes at a good time. I mean, that's actually, I guess, one of the good breaks of the schedule since one of our bye weeks is the last week of the year, which doesn't really help much. But
this kind of, I guess, is
somewhat of a bye, even though it seems like we struggle with Kansas every year, which is baffling. But hopefully, yeah, they can get a crushing win and get the confidence going, you know, back in the right direction, you know, maybe get some guys extra rest, get ready for Oklahoma. But yeah, I'm with you, man. I hope the fans don't desert this team because, I mean, they've lost two games in 2 years, so it's not like they're losing a lot.
They deserve the support just for being able to pull off, you know, 8-1 with what they've got, you know. Don't be like SMU fans and just not show. And, you know, I'd be suicidal if that was my fan base.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, we can't become that fickle fan base, and we can't become a fan base that says if we're not one or two games away from playing for the national championship that we shouldn't be in there. I mean, we should be there. We should support this team. This is great college football. I mean, this is the greatest sport in my opinion. You know, I can barely tolerate the NFL. I can barely tolerate NBA. I'll watch a little college basketball, but not until the tournament. College football is the best sport around. And as a fan that lives, you know, over 1,000 miles away, you know, one of the most irritating things I see on Twitter is when people tweet our AD and bitch about the sound. I'm just like, dude, you're at a game where we're curb stomping Texas. I don't want to hear that your cheese wasn't hot enough. I live 1,000 miles away, and I would give anything to be able to go watch the Frogs. So if you can get to the game, go to the game. It is a privilege to be able to go and watch this amazing team led by Boykin, coached by Coach Patterson. I hope that if anybody can be there, can go and support this team. I mean, we supported them through a lot of lean years. This is a great year. I mean, we still have potential to do some great things. I am naive enough to think if Baylor loses to Oklahoma, Oklahoma is going to be high off of that win, and we're going to go to Norman and beat them. And then we just get, you know, 60 minutes with Baylor, and we have no clue what will happen. So get there and support the team this week, especially after this tough loss. They need all the support they can get, and there's no reason for you to not be there. And don't bitch about the sound.
It's your second to last chance to see Boykin at home.
Oh, yeah, it's the second last chance. I mean, you know, I noticed Patterson made a big point of that this last week, which was, you know, this is a gift to have Boykin and Doxson on our team. I don't think we quite appreciated that, is what he was saying. And as much as I admire him, you know, just to hear you say that, Daniel, that makes me sad. I mean, we only got Boykin for a couple more games, two more games at home. Make the most of this. Get out there and cheer them on because, man, they are these are good kids, not just a good team. So, well, fellas, we're going to wrap up. We kind of joked that we were going to have a really short podcast, and here we are running a little longer than we thought. It sounds like we had a lot that we needed to do. So hopefully this was a little group therapy for everybody in Horned Frog Nation to lament, get some of the stuff off your chest, let us speak for you. It was a tough loss, but we're going to bounce back, and we still have plenty to play for here at the end of the season. Anything else you guys want to share as we wrap up?
I'm good for now.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I feel better.
Good. Well, no group hug. No group hug. Have a beer on me is what I will say. So, well, we appreciate everybody that listened. We hope you track us down on iTunes, on Stitcher. We hope you find us on Twitter at TheFrogCastTCU, as well as our Facebook page. Find us at thefrogcast.com, and we are always on Killer Frogs every Monday morning. When Daniel gets that show put together, we put it on there, and you can find us. We hope you'll share us, go on iTunes, and give us a rating. We would really, really appreciate it. So for Trey Fallon, for Daniel Southern, I am Jeff Mitchell. Thank you for listening to The Frogcast.